Hey, what are you guys doing out here?
It's Halloween. We've been trick-or-treating.
Are you alone?
There's a creepy man in a white mask.
Where?
And he keeps, like, trying to play hide-and-seek with us.
Where did you see him?
What?
Is that your blood?
No, lucky man.
All right, welcome to the Dead Harvey Podcast. This is the podcast for indie horror filmmakers and fans. What we want to do is talk about projects that are out there, mostly indie horror, but any horror project that's going on out there. We also want to talk about sort of the tools and the different things that are going on that might help filmmakers, and we also want to put cool horror films on your radar. Essentially, what we want to do is just fuel the independent horror ecosystem by helping the filmmakers any way we can, talking about these films, putting them on your radar, and then giving all you fans something to talk about and watch and look at and putting stuff and get you spreading the word too. That's what it's all about, us just pumping up the indie horror system. However, today we're not really going to talk about indie horror because within the span of about a week, four awesome franchises are being rebooted. So what we figured we'd do is we're going to talk about the four reboots, and then next week we are going to talk about what you might want to watch instead.
Yeah, so this is like a long lead in to like basically like Hollywood remakes or reboots, and then like the indie versions of them, like what they could have done if they were indie movies and they weren't being a part of the official movies, but it's like different ideas that are along those lines.
Yeah, exactly. Taking kind of the themes of these. So basically, we want to talk about these four because, you know, quite frankly, if you're a horror fan, you're going to watch all four of them. So we might as well talk about them. And we can also talk about the original franchise. So, because fuck, when you look at, say, Halloween, I didn't realize how many goddamn Halloween movies there were and how disparate the entire franchise is as to it. We could talk about that. But we'll look at all of them. So anyhow, the four we're going to cover off is Scream, which there is a new Scream coming out. We'll talk about that. Child's Play / Chucky. There is a show. It's on Sci-Fi right now. I haven't seen it yet because it's coming out a week later here. So it's called Chucky, but it's based on the Child's Play franchise. Halloween Kills is coming out. So we're going to talk about Halloween. And lastly, Amazon is rebooting I Know What You Did Last Summer as a series.
Yeah. Okay, where do you want to start getting dirty with first?
So honestly, if I look at the four, probably the one that I'm least interested in, but it makes sense to reboot it, is I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, and that was also the one that I'm least interested in. I saw, like, they kept popping up ads for it on Amazon. I was like, what is this? I was like, this is some, like, low version of the original ones, which are already pretty, like, low budget to begin with. It was, like, all the teen stars at that time. And then I liked the first one because it's urban legend about the guy with the hook. And then they just kept, like, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer. And, like, my friend knows what your friend told me that you did last summer. And I still have the secret from your cousin, what your cousin told me. And then they just kept going on and on, just milking them into the ground, which they'll do again if they have the chance.
Yeah, they still, okay, so talking about this one, let's revisit the original franchise. The first one came out in 1997.
Yeah.
Notably, it was written by Kevin Williamson. And Kevin Williamson, went on to, I can't remember how, like, where he was in his career at that stage.
Well, he was like, I think that was briefly after the first Scream because, well, basically first it was Dawson's Creek with him and then it was Scream. So then when he matched up with Wes Craven, that became like a huge hit. And then after that he did Cursed. And then I Know What You Did Last Summer. And then a bunch of, remember that was like the Teaching Mrs. Tingle, like all those ones that were like,
he did a bunch of
thrillers. Yeah.
Teen thrillers, CW stuff.
Sort of CW-esque, like not nearly as edgy as, well, no, none of the rest of them were as edgy as the first Scream. The others were kind of, or as like meta as the first Scream. The others were kind of like these like PG-13 versions, like the Cursed, like the werewolf one with Christina Ricci. everybody was kind of wishing those would be more Scream-like, but they were the more kind of trying to be more audience accessible or like capture a larger audience.
Yeah. So Kevin Williamson really carved out, because he did do those ones, Vampire Diaries, mm-hmm. The Following, and Dawson's Creek is where he really broke out. But like the teen sort of angsty story and putting it into a horror mm-hmm. film was kind of his deal. So the first one was, and it was early on in his career. It was 97, right? And I think Dawson's Creek was early 90s. So we're talking, yeah, I mean, he was still on Dawson's Creek at the time. So in 97, they did I Know What You Did Last Summer, mm-hmm. and very quickly with other people, the same cast, but new writer and director, turned around I Still Know What You Did Last Summer the year later. And then they took about a 7 or 8 year hiatus before coming out with I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer, yeah. which was completely different. It was just a completely different animal. I don't even think it was still the same killer, which is the guy with the hook, but different actors, because the original ones had that crew.
Yeah. And at that point, like, the title is literally becoming like a parody, like a Scream, like a Scary Movie kind of parody. Cause you know, like when they had like all the parodies, when the Scary Movie came out, and they had like, they would mix all like the titles together. Mm-hmm. They would have like, I know what you did last summer, I know what you screamed last summer. Yeah, I like that kind of shit. Yeah.
So, I mean, the one thing that's interesting about this one is it is ripe for a remake, because if you look at Williamson and the stuff he did, the Dawson's Creek, the TV shows and the teen things, like, it's just a matter of time before they say, I mean, realistically, what's the plot of this? It's a group of teenagers mm-hmm. that did a mistake, killed somebody, and then dumped it into the sea. And then this mysterious fisherman with a hook comes to stalk him. So, you know, it's a bunch of teens playing off each other, getting into trouble, and then a killer coming after them. But it's really about this, oh, we did something bad, I know what you did last summer type of thing. It's right to be remade. We've actually seen this. Like,
yeah.
Now, what was the one that was filmed up here? Was it The Following? It was actually kind of...
Oh, that was the one with Kevin Bacon, the series. That was actually pretty cool. Oh,
sorry. Yeah, that's the one with Kevin Bacon. I'm thinking of The Killing. No, I'm thinking of The Killing.
Oh, okay. You're thinking that's the one with Joel Kinnaman and...
Where they had that same thing where someone died and mm-hmm. then they were slowly uncovering it and stuff like that. I mean, realistically, that's what it is. It's the same. I think they actually went with... I can't remember what the third one was. I can't remember what I Always Know What You Did Last Summer, but realistically, I Still Know What You Did Last Summer just picked up where the first one left off. Type of
thing. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it makes sense for Amazon to pick this up. And I think they're attaching, like, isn't James Wan involved?
Yeah, you are correct. James Wan is an executive producer on one episode. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, cool. There's a bunch of other ones as well too. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I mean, the original ones, I was never even a big fan of the mm-hmm. original ones. I just kind of thought they were kind of like you were saying, like Scream came out, mm-hmm. redefined horror for a little bit. All these teen shit came out, and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, or I Know What You Did Last Summer, put a bunch of teen actors that were from TV, put them mm-hmm. into a horror film, and then created this franchise. But because it was structured so much like a TV show with TV show like people, it does make sense that Amazon picks this up and runs with it as a series.
Yeah, this will be one that's like all about the execution, because I like the idea of like the whole urban legend kind of shit is pretty cool. Like the killer with the hook, like you hear all these stories about, like, you know, like the story about like the dog like under your bed, and then it's like licks, and then it licks you, and it's like a human tongue, and then like, you know, all the weird shit like that, the humans, the urban legend stories. There was even, remember that urban legend series that came out? There was a lot that were like that. It's just like that series got completely milked to death. But if they execute it correctly, have the right cast, it could turn out. Because I actually, after I'll talk about these other ones that are coming up, I was very pessimistic about Hollywood until I'm having a more optimistic view now, at least with these new ones. Now, I don't know anything about this one, and it is the one that I'm the least interested in, but what I've seen on the Chucky stuff and the new Halloween stuff so far, and then the new Scream stuff, all actually looks pretty cool so far.
I do think we were talking about it before we went recording, mm-hmm. but I mean, the thing is, a lot of this stuff is, well, Amazon Studios and sort of Netflix, but a lot of these ones, independent guys are actually rebooting this stuff, and then it's getting acquired by streaming platforms. So I do think at the end of the day, like, people are getting inventive. They are always going to go back to existing intellectual property like this and try to reboot it. But I am hopeful, because they could do some crazy shit. Like, like you and I were ahead of the game on Squid Game, right? Like, mm-hmm. like the first, it came out, we were talking about it and it blew up afterwards. And no major network's going to pick that up, right? No major network's going to do it, but Netflix picks it up, it blows up. I think people are understanding that people like weird shit, people like crazy stuff. So
yeah, and stuff is different. You know, it's going to be a risk, but like if you're doing something a little bit different, it's going to throw a curveball. People are either going to latch onto it, or it may just like fizzle out. But I love always taking risks and trying new stuff.
So. Yeah, and looking at what I've seen so far from this reboot here, it looks like they're literally pulling the characters out and plunking new characters in and revisiting it. And I don't know how it'll go, but let's see. Let's see how it goes. So that's kind of all I got on this one. I'm interested to see. It's an interesting intellectual property in that it's very basic, but it's that Kevin Williamson formula of putting teen actors from TV and putting them into a movie. Seems destined to work on TV, but we'll see what they do.
You know, his original script for Scream is a great script, so I mean he really found his niche with that one.
So having said that, we might as well then go on to Scream.
Okay.
Scream is being rebooted as a film, right? It's coming out theatrically. When does it come out? This month?
Oh, it's soon. I believe in like December. Let's check here.
Sorry, actually, I think it's January 2022. Okay. Let's go. So looking back, so again, might as well go to this one because Kevin Williamson wrote this one as well, right? He wrote 1, 2, and 4.
Oh, I have, it's got, okay. So James Vanderbilt screenplay, Gary Busick, and then Kevin Williamson characters created by.
Okay. So it's based on. So Kevin Williamson wrote the original script, and then basically my bet is Wes Craven got involved, brought his own guys on, and they redid it.
Yeah. See, I think that's things. Like that's one of those things they do to like when they put like the original creator's name in there. They're like based on characters created by to make you think that they wrote it, but it's actually somebody different. But this does look like it's very much like. I was pretty pleasantly surprised when I saw the trailer because it looks like it's very much in the vein of the and the style that the Craven had in the first Scream. And so that and the actors like a lot of the same cast, a lot of the same feel. It doesn't feel like it's gonna be a 180 or betrayal of the fan.
Let's take a step backwards here because for Scream. So what Scream was about? The original Scream came out in 1996. Mm-hmm. Horror was on a bit of a downward slide at that point, like in the early 90s. Not a lot of people were. It was kind of there's a lot of shit out there. If you actually look, 90, 91, 92, 93, it's really only niche stuff was out there. But Scream was the all of a sudden rebooted horror in general. Like it was. I think it was at the time Wes Craven's biggest.
Oh yeah, that was a huge comeback for him. Remember, he had been kind of. It was like after Nightmare on Elm Street 7, he was there was a little bit of a lull for him, and then Scream really relaunched.
And then Scream put him back on the map, and it relaunched all this shit, all that sort of teeny kind of stuff. Now, notably about it, there was a couple of really cool things about it. One was, famously, it killed Drew Barrymore in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. They pulled the psycho trick in it.
They pulled the psycho trick where the main character that you assume is going to be in it the whole time gets killed instantly. That was a big thing at the time. Two, the other thing that no one had really done before is it completely 100%, the entire franchise pokes fun at horror tropes.
Yeah, absolutely. And without being a parody, it was a very serious, so it was like it worked on a level where it was a very serious and effective and scary horror movie. But then it also gave a bunch of Easter eggs if you're a horror fan and a horror nerd. And that's where it really like added something that those other movies before it hadn't in that genre.
Exactly. So that was kind of the basis of the whole movie was that Drew Barrymore opens with a kill, which is a direct like nod to Psycho. I don't think they're even hiding it. They're like, this is Psycho famously did it. Now we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And throughout the course of it, there's these guys. And again, it's all sort of teenagers, obviously. And two of the guys are obsessed with horror films and decide to start killing people because they think it's going to be fun, but they follow horror tropes.
Yeah.
And you have the typical horror stuff where they're trying to figure out, people are getting killed, stalked. You have Ghostface is the main killer, but he follows the horror tropes, and people are systematically getting killed off. But they also had this layer of who is this? We knew that it was one of the group, and so we had to slowly identify who it was. The whole thing was a really well-written script. It was a good, all horror fans liked it, non-horror fans liked it. It really just like I said, it rebooted Wes Craven. Now, they went on, that was 96, quickly turned around Scream 2 in 97, Scream 3 in 2000, and then Scream 4 in 2011, which was a big jump. And 2011, they brought Williamson back for it. Now, it always followed kind of the same idea. It was a new killer, right? Mm-hmm. But it was a copycat killer, if I remember correctly, in Scream 2.
Yeah.
And then in Scream 3, I can't remember. It was something else that had happened there. It was basically the same thing. They basically revisit the same thing. Following horror tropes, someone's obsessed with horror. Mm-hmm. We have to discover who the killer is. Now, looking at the trailer and what I've read about the new one,
mm-hmm.
it does feel a little bit like they're doing the Star Wars thing where they're basically remaking the movie, having some of the old characters in it, but having new characters basically do the exact same thing as the originals. Like, if you watch that trailer, they just put in some new technology and had someone play the Drew Barrymore person.
Yeah, that's true. But they do it with like they're coming back. This is one of the things I saw in this too, because in that trailer, they're like, she's being attacked by Ghostface through text, you know? And yeah. So instead of him calling her on the phone, it's through the text. And then he's manipulating her alarm system, yeah. And her locks and everything too.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this is starting to hurt my head now, because now in horror movies, there's so much technology and smart technology out there where wireless controls everything. That now this is going to be a thing that like horror movies are going to have to work their way around. Now like somebody has to figure out how to get away from a killer by like manipulating all these other things in the internet environment around them, as opposed to just like trying to get out of an unlocked door, trying to get out the window or the roof or something.
You know? But it was a direct nod to the nod to the original, because mm-hmm. they're like, hey, here's the opening scene from the original.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that doesn't make sense anymore because no one would use the landline. They would use the cell phone. And then so they kind of nod to it, explain it. But it did feel, and now I have no idea how the rest of the movie plays out, but to me it felt like, okay, we've got three or four of the original characters. They're all looking old and aged, but let's put them in here. But then let's recast essentially everybody.
Nev Campbell still looks pretty good.
She didn't look bad. Yeah, but it did seem like as we did it, it's like they're just rebooting it, although they claim they're not rebooting it. But it did seem like they're doing the Star Wars thing where they're like, let's kind of use the same basis of the script, sprinkle in some of the old characters for nostalgia's sake, mm-hmm. but reboot it off these new people who are essentially going to do the same
thing. Yeah, let's just hope that, like, unlike the new Star Wars, unlike the new Star Wars, what we're already seeing is all the people from the original movie are going to be in this one together. Yeah. Whereas in the Star Wars, the Disney Star Wars sequels, they never put Han, Luke, and Leia together in one scene. Fucking morons.
Yeah.
Already it's better than that.
So, and the other notable thing about this reboot is that Blumhouse is behind it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it went from where you had, and that's going to be interesting knowing how Blumhouse puts together his films. There's not going to be a huge budget behind this, right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And apparently from what I've read, they're going to leave it open, which means that they're probably planning on rebooting this and doing another six of them.
Oh yeah. They'll milk the shit out of this once they can get this to come back. Now Blumhouse, so I saw the interview with him on the Joe Bob Briggs show. Now he says that he considers his micro budget movies to be like under 5 million, but he says that he will increase his budget for movies that are like along the lines like this or Halloween. He's going to give those a larger budget because he knows that he can get a massive return on it, because he was talking about like, okay, so when David Gordon Green did the Halloween Return on there, they made like $280 million off it. They probably only spent like 10 or 20 on it. So.
Right. Right. But to his point and his model, the Scream doesn't, almost on purpose, the Ghostface costume is lame.
Oh, right? It's like super generic, accessible to super low budget.
And that's on purpose, and that's by mm-hmm. design, right? And then you also just have a bunch of teenagers running around trying to figure this thing out. So, he could keep the budget low on it.
Oh, now, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, having said it, other people tried to kind of do this sort of nod to horror movies, and now it almost seems like typical that people put it in there, that someone is self-aware. It's almost like, I always thought it was funny, like in zombie movies, mm-hmm. When no one calls them zombies because they're like, oh no, in our world, no one knew what a zombie was. So they didn't know that, oh my God, the dead have come back to life. Zombies are here. Like in zombie movies, the mm-hmm. idea of a zombie never existed, so they don't know what to call them, right? Like it's like there's never that nod, and only recently have you seen people like, even like notoriously The Walking Dead never,
they're called the walkers. Yeah, yeah.
They're called walkers, or right? Yeah. They never call them zombies. And it's like, do you mean to tell me in your world, no, like in your world, George Romero didn't exist and zombies are not a genre. No one's ever thought of Living Dead.
Right. Like you're in the, like a self-aware environment. Yeah. You're not acknowledging Romero or any of the other stuff.
Yeah, you're not like no one's sitting in the background going, yeah, guys, they're called zombies. They're called zombies. Like there's been movies for 50 years.
They should be saying, like, look, have you been watching like the lowest straight to video movies ever that have just done like their own super low rent version of zombies and not acknowledge Romero? And that's what you're going off of. But I totally noticed that with other stuff. Here's another thing that I noticed about what Kevin Williamson did with Scream. So in the 90s, when he came out with his stuff, which was pretty much like when Tarantino was just like starting his stuff, Tarantino was doing like the very self-aware meta stuff about movies and pop culture. Yeah. But Kevin Williamson was totally focusing on the horror genre.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of like a horror version of what Tarantino was doing at that same time.
Yeah. And that self-aware thing has now become part, you see it all the time.
Right? Oh yeah. It's gone over everything. It's put its tentacles in everything now.
Yeah. So now everywhere, but like if a horror movie doesn't acknowledge like, oh no, like what, like when it's always like the black guy's like, oh my God, you know, I'm going to get killed first.
Right. Yeah.
That's a horror trope. That almost is going to show up. It's like, oh, you're going to be the last girl. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, that's the harbinger. Like everyone knows the roles and they're self-aware, but Scream was really the first one to be self-aware.
Yeah.
And do that. And so, I mean, I always thought that was kind of cool. And no one, and you really can't steal this idea because no one else could do it. That says, no, you got a horror fan who plays by the horror rules and the horror tropes. And now he's actually killing people. And we got to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
That formula is the Scream formula, and it works. So I mean I am, and looking at it, it's like I get it, they're rebooting it, they're going to do a lot of the same story elements, they're going to do the same plot points and beats, but it's cool. I did realize like I remember, like I love the Scream franchise.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, I didn't care for the last one, which was part four, but I liked all the, I never saw the, do you ever see the TV series?
I watched a little bit of it. It was on MTV. Was that the one?
I haven't seen any of it, but yeah, it was on MTV. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really watch too much of it. The only one I did like, and which was it, the original one where they had the nod to Freddy, where is he's wearing the sweater and sweeping.
I believe so. I'd have to go back and watch it.
But you know, the one where he's like, they're going through the school and the janitor is wearing the Freddy sweater and he's got the hat on.
Yep. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. And I think that was Wes Craven that was in that outfit as well.
It was Wes Craven was in the outfit and it was, and whoever it was, and who was it who walked by him and says, hey, Fred. And it was like a total nod to Freddy. But I mean, something that's for the horror fans that there's all the nods, you got to look out for it and kind of talk about where I that's what I look forward to. And hopefully they do that again and don't look past the nods to horror fans, because that's what really made Scream awesome, was that not only was it a legit horror film and not only did it play to like the horror tropes and make fun of it, it was like there was all these Easter eggs to the horror fans, right? So it was a good franchise. I'm glad they're rebooting it and I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah me too. Yeah, definitely.
That's about all I got on this one, and looking through it's like, fuck, they did a lot of stuff here. So two more to get through, and let's leave the probably the one we're most excited for / can make most fun of for last, and now jump to Child's Play / Chucky. So Child's Play actually goes back a lot further. It was in the 80s. It was 1988 was the first Child's Play. It was a from Don Mancini. MGM brought it out. And it was like pretty, I don't want to say an instant hit, but it was a hit, right? And so it spawned pretty quickly sequels. So Child's Play was 1988, Child's Play 2 was 1990, Child's Play 3 was 1991. They took a bit of a break and a turn getting to Bride of Chucky in 98, then Seed of Chucky in 2004, Curse of Chucky in 2013, Cult of Chucky in 2017, and then they rebooted, which I don't think I've even seen, A Child's Play in 2019. I kind of forgot they rebooted it.
Yeah, I saw that one in the theater. Yeah.
I did not see that one in the theater. So it did take, obviously the whole concept is it's Chucky's soul was put into a My Buddy doll. Not a My Buddy doll.
Good Guy doll.
Good guy doll. Yeah. It was a ripoff of My Buddy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's true. But, yeah. The commercials and everything they showed in there were very much
the same.
It's
the same overhauls and all that type of stuff. So it's a Good Guy doll. So this serial killer who was into voodoo gets his soul put into the Chucky doll. And so this kid unknowingly gets his Good Guy doll. And of course, it comes to life and it's a serial killer. And that was the whole concept of the whole thing. But then he became kind of his own character over time. And then like by Bride of Chucky, what's her face?
Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly comes into it with her own version of the two characters, and kind of it takes a weird turn from there when you get into Seed of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, and Cult of Chucky. Because she became kind of almost the center character in those later ones. She was in all of them, wasn't she?
Oh, she was in at least Bride of Chucky and then Seed of Chucky.
Yeah, she's definitely in Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, and Curse of Chucky and Cult of Chucky were the straight-to-video ones.
Yeah. And I saw those. Those were okay. I barely remember those, but I dug, for the Child's Play movies, the first one is fantastic. I love the first and the second one.
First one's awesome.
First one, timeless classic. Well, one of my favorite lines in the movie too, like when they see him in the elevator, what an ugly little doll. And he's fuck you.
Well, I mean, what I did like or appreciate about the original one is like, there have been killer doll movies before, especially my favorite Puppet Master. So you've seen them before, but, and I also like that we've talked about it before, the suspension of disbelief. As soon as there's this voodoo thing that puts the soul in the doll and it's established that can happen, all of a sudden it doesn't matter. It makes sense. Chucky. All we're doing is establishing that Chucky exists. And then since Chucky exists, it doesn't matter. The whole world takes off from there. And you have this killer doll with an attitude. And it always kind of worked for me because it's just funny. The idea of a killer doll.
Yeah.
The idea of a killer doll is and that's all it really went from there. It's how many killer dolls can we layer on top of where we're at? But I mean, because it actually, you pretty quickly lose the fact that he was an original serial killer that put his soul in there. Like he never really, I think he toys with trying to go back into a human body.
Yeah. He's trying to get into the little kid's body in the first one. Cause he wants to get out of the doll's body and get into a human body where he can grow up and he can do other things. I can become an adult like a demon spawn again. But he's limited in the doll body. Yeah.
Yeah. But pretty quickly shortly after Child's Play 2, that becomes a non-factor.
Yeah.
He's just happy being Chucky.
Seems like he's more durable in the doll body than he would be in a human body.
Maybe as a character, he just gets used to being in the doll. But as it keeps going on, it just basically I forgot actually sometimes he does get destroyed quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, gets burned up and blown apart and sometimes still keeps coming back. Yeah.
Yeah, and then his blood will drip into the mold of the thing, and then they create a new doll and he comes back to life and stuff. It becomes like a Jason Michael Myers Freddy thing where he dies every single time, but he comes back again in a new, although by the later ones they're just constantly patching him up and he's got scars.
Oh yeah, yeah. I like the way he looks like when he's all Frankenstein up.
Yeah, that's actually a little bit better because he the first three I think he just kept being respawned, but then later on they're like, no, it's kind of funnier if he takes an axe wound and then he's just got scotch tape holding it all together. But it is a fun franchise. Like I've always been a definitely. Chucky fan. I have nothing negative to say about it because it was one of those things. It's like, am I going to say something negative about A Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th? Yeah, there's ones I can pick on, but realistically, it's a full franchise. It's a lot of fun. I would recommend anyone within the Child's Play one, especially the first three.
Absolutely. The third one that was in the military camp was cool too, but I really dug Bride of Chucky. I love one, two. And Bride of Chucky. Those are my favorites. Then I would go Seed of Chucky and then part three after that.
Yeah, actually Bride of Chucky was good because it brought in what's her face? I keep forgetting the name. And then all of a sudden you had these new characters and expand the world. And it was a lot of fun. Like by then they were kind of just poking fun, not poking fun, but like having fun with the franchise. Right.
Yeah. And it's like one of the things too, is that with Chucky, this is one of the things I noticed about him. Like you take all these other killers and they sort of find, they take a few movies to get like their groove on what they're going to be, what their signature look is going to be. With Chucky, with his attitude, his signature look, like the tone of the movies, they were that way from the very first movie. Whereas with like Jason and Freddy, you know, like Jason didn't even start as Jason. Then he became like the zombie, like hockey face killer that went around. And then, you know, Michael Myers was kind of, well, actually Michael Myers has always been the same. But Freddy started out like very scary. And then he turned humorous and cracking one-liners like Chucky did. But Chucky from the very beginning was always the same.
Yeah. So a couple things about, I mean, Chucky actually did become a character now that I'm kind of, you know, thinking back, like they did like standalone stuff where he was on his own. Like he became his own thing, which is kind of like, that's kind of what you want. Like I remember before they released some of the stuff, they were doing little short videos on Chucky, and Chucky was making like guest appearances and stuff. So Chucky did cross. He got into other stuff. Like looking back, and Chucky kind of crossed over the chasm from, hey, you're in these films, to he's a character, and he kind of became his own thing. So now that's kind of the background on Child's Play. And now a new TV series, which I have not seen. I've seen the trailers and everything. You've seen it, so you can talk to it. It just came out. It's an 8-episode series, I believe. Yeah. It's on the Sci-Fi USA Network. It's just called Chucky. My first takes on it, and I'll let you film in afterwards, is they seem to have messed with him a little bit. His face looks a little different. Not sure how I feel about that. Like, you know, like, I'll get used to it, but like, I never got used to the fact they tried to change Freddy's face for the reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street. And I like with Halloween, you can't change Michael Myers' face. So I did notice that he looks a little different. But that's kind of the only thing I noticed. They've kind of changed it's always a kid that he's involved with. So he's got the kid that's running around, but we're concentrating on the kid a bit more now, I think, as opposed to concentrating on Chucky. I'm cautiously optimistic, probably like you were going into it, but I'll throw it over to you because you've actually seen the first episode and I have not.
Okay. Well, I was expecting it to be pretty bad from what I saw from the trailer. So I was like, it's made for TV. It's probably going to be pretty shitty. They're probably going to change a bunch of things. So when I saw they did a reboot recently of Chucky where Mark Hamill did the voice of Chucky instead of Brad Dourif. And Chucky looked completely different in that one. This one, he does look a little bit different, but it's more akin to the look that he had in the first one. And the way that he basically has like that more like sort of good guy, the original good guy doll look. Like I did notice a couple of different things, the design, his eyebrows and everything, but the face is like sort of like the angelic little face. What you see on those dolls is much more similar to the first one. And Brad Dourif is back doing the voice. Don Mancini is writing the show. And I think he's the showrunner on it. This time it focuses on a kid that's in high school that's getting bullied. So when you think of, if you find this doll and you're getting bullied, who would be your absolute best friend? You know, Chucky's like, I'm going to be your best friend, right? We're best friends, friends till the end. And who would be the best friend to have if you were being bullied as a kid? Would be Chucky, because Chucky can just go slaughter everyone that's tormenting you. So that's what Chucky's like. I'm just going to use this as an excuse to go slaughter all these people and become a homicidal maniac again. And then the kid's got to be at odds with that because he knows that Chucky's doing it. And no one believes him. So I thought that was what I really like about it is that they went back to the original formula. They took the same characters. So Jennifer Tilly's going to come back. A little kid that played Andy in the original, he's grown up now, and he's warning this new kid about this Chucky doll that he's got. He's like, looked at the back of it and taken out the batteries yet and see there's nothing in there when he's talking to you? So there's all this shit.
So it actually is not a reboot as much as
No, that's what I like about it. Thank God they didn't do a reboot. They're just continuing. So much like I think the best decision that they made with the new Karate Kid series was they didn't try and remake it. They just continued the story. That way you don't butcher the original. You just sort of focus on new characters. You remain authentic to the original. That has this feel to it. And Chucky, like and this is like R-rated when he's slaughtering people and stuff, which is great. And so it has like all that vibe of the first one. You have these characters coming back, and it's just a continuation of the story.
Yeah.
Focusing on somebody new, which is great. And so everything I've seen about it, I've really liked so far, except for the Billie Eilish soundtrack, which is way too emo. And I'm like, what the hell is this? It's like song after song after song.
Yeah.
Which is, I think of Chucky as more metal, I guess, but the kid's kind of emo because he's being tormented. But
true. But I guess that's true. And Scream is doing that. It exists as a continuation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know about I Know What You Did Last Summer because it looks like a reboot, but we're not exactly sure if they're rebooting it. But I do like this way of doing it better. It's like, hey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It does not butcher the original. It stays faithful to it. And you just continue the story and focus on somebody else. Yeah.
It's that Star Wars model where let's get some of the original ones in here. We'll create some new characters. Yeah.
But like, watchable.
I like Force Awakens. That's probably the best one of the reboots.
I like Mandalorian.
Mandalorian is awesome.
But it's not a reboot. That's a side one. That I think that's why I liked it, because it didn't try and half redo like the first one.
The model of saying like we're going to create a whole new storyline, but it's a continuation, and we'll use some old characters to help propel it along, makes a lot of sense. There was some pretty funny stuff in the trailer too. Like he's lying in the bed, and he looks over at the girl, and he's like, "I'm going to go kill your sister," and she's like, "I'm going to bed." He's like, "All right."
No, there's a scene in there that is just great, like where the kid's being tormented and Chucky's like, and so this girl's making fun of him at the talent show, just calling him out in front of everybody. So Chucky's like sitting behind him and he's like, "Hey kid, come over here." And he's like, "Pick me up." And he's like whispering in his ear. He's like, "Here's what you're going to do." And so the kid like takes him over, and then they do a ventriloquist act where Chucky starts making fun of everybody there. It's great. There's some really good stuff in this one. So I'm looking forward to the rest of them.
I'm looking forward to it too. Yeah, it's going to be good. Now on to the last reboot, which is, it's a classic franchise. It's a fun franchise, but it's also is pretty easy to make fun of just how disparate the entire franchise actually is. Yeah. And that's Halloween. Mm-hmm. So again, oddly, Jason Blum is involved in this one in rebooting Halloween. So let's look back at the entire franchise here. So this one actually goes way back. This is actually the first one of the first slasher films. I think it actually predates.
For a long time, the most successfully financial independent movie ever made.
But I think Friday the 13th was a response to Halloween.
Yeah, and the Holiday Inn itself becoming really popular was a response to that movie.
So the first Halloween from John Carpenter, obviously, came out in 1978. And then what ended up happening is it was such a hit that Friday the 13th came out, and it became like all of a sudden the horror like was really that 80s horror vibe was launched by Halloween. And then they just started cranking out Halloween movies. It was Halloween 2 in 81, Halloween 3 in 82, Halloween 4 in 88, Halloween 5 in 89, Halloween Curse of Michael Myers in 95, Halloween H2O 20 years later in 98, Halloween Resurrection, then the reboot by Rob Zombie in 2007. And he followed that up with Halloween 2. Then there was another Halloween in 2018. And then now we're getting another, I don't know if it's a reboot or continuation, Halloween Kills. And they've already announced that they're going to follow it up with Halloween Ends.
Yeah. So it's like basically like this new one is like a new trilogy. And then I think they'll go on to something else.
Of course they're bringing back, Jamie Lee Curtis to reprise her role. Mm-hmm. So clearly, what they're doing is trying to continue off from the original. And this is what makes it actually pretty funny, because everyone also knows, if you're a Halloween fan, that Halloween 3 has nothing to do with the rest of the franchise.
Yeah.
That season of the witch. It literally has nothing to do with Michael Myers, nothing to do with really anything. Like, it's just kind of like a standalone. It just happens to take place in Halloween. Like, it's by far makes no sense whatsoever. But interestingly, it's been mapped out. So there's the original 1978 Halloween. And then there's Halloween 2 in 1981. But Halloween H2O does not recognize Halloween 4. It branches off from Halloween 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then later goes to Halloween Resurrection. So one timeline is the original Halloween, Halloween 2, then Halloween H2O 20 years later, because it's 98 versus 81. And then Halloween Resurrection based off of Halloween H2O. However, those disregard, all of them disregard Halloween 3.
Yeah.
So then after 81, it goes to Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, which came out in 88, 10 years before 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Halloween 5, Revenge of Michael Myers, and Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, 95. That's one timeline, is Halloween, Halloween 2, Halloween 4, 5, then Curse of Michael Myers. That's one timeline. Then the second timeline is Halloween, Halloween 2, then Halloween H2O, Halloween Resurrection. Yeah. Then there's another timeline, which is the one we're currently on with this new one coming out, that goes original Halloween to Halloween 2018.
Yeah.
Right. Which continues that, then goes to Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends. Right. And because so that Halloween, the 2018, is the reintroduction of Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. So this one was officially a reboot of Halloween 2, essentially, because it was taking place after the first one and then disregarding all the other ones, just like Halloween H2 loaded. Yes. Yeah.
Disregarding all of those other ones. Then, of course, you have the standalone reboot by Rob Zombie, which is Halloween and Halloween 2, which actually are not in any of the above timelines.
Yeah.
It's its own kind of thing. So that's what I mean by the Halloween timeline is completely disparate. And actually, at this point, they can make a random movie that makes no sense with no actors, and it would totally be fine as part of the Halloween franchise. So essentially what we're looking at here is disregarding Halloween 2, H2O, 4, Return of Michael, all that stuff. We're disregarding 5 of the 11 films for here. We're continuing the timeline that basically jumped from 78 to 2018 and now continues that timeline. So that's where we're at in Halloween Kills and Halloween. If anyone wants that explained, there you go. So you're basically... you're disregarding half the franchise in this timeline, but it's not going to matter to anybody. It's not going to matter whatsoever. And also, don't think this is a continuation of the Rob Zombie ones. It has nothing to do with the Rob Zombie ones. Having said that, it's good to see Michael Myers in a mask again.
I mean, the
mask gets better and better, I have to say. Like, just because it's originally, like, if you watch the original, and it's really just a William Shatner mask painted white and not much more. But by now, it's just, it's still somewhere under there is William Shatner, but it's just a mangled mess of, of a mask. But what I like about this one, too, though, I have a feeling it doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, looking at the trailer, it's going to be like he does the full-on Jason where he just survives a massive fire. Like he just walks out of a fire and starts slaughtering people. and with his plastic mask completely unharmed.
Well, this is what's great about this is, like, so at the end of the last movie, so Jamie Lee Curtis and their family, they trap him down there and burn him alive. The fire department comes over. What you see in the trailers for this one is the fire department comes over and he slaughters the fire department when they're trying to put out the fire. And then that's how he makes his way back. And, like, I remember, like, they had this interview with David Gordon Green or Joe Bob had when he was asking him, the fans were asking him, is Michael Myers, is he human or is he supernatural? And he says he does, like, incredible things, but I don't really think he's supernatural, which, like, I was like, you would almost have to be.
How do you,
like, fires and all this other shit. I mean, you got to be like a human zombie, like Jason, basically. That's kind of, he's trying to be more vague with it. I think so he could have more room for interpretation.
Quite frankly, it's a stupid question. Like,
but if you could survive all that, you're clearly not human. I mean, you're total freak of nature.
Well, it's kind of the same. It's like, we all know from from Friday the 13th that Jason was a kid. He has a kid and a mom. The first one was all about, he was also chained to the bottom of a lake for extended periods of time. And is he supernatural? Like, he also, we know he also has telekinetic powers. He can survive an axe to the face, but for some reason he doesn't die. He actually was dead and then resurrected by lightning. But technically speaking, was he a human being or is he supernatural? I mean, I don't, it's the same answer. It's like, well, he was a human. So in this long timeline of shit, he must be. It's just a dumb question because he just, like, we've now, it's that same suspension of disbelief. We now know that Michael Myers can crawl out of a burning fire and be fine. And I also kind of, there's a couple of things I miss, and I wonder how they do it, because he's got to be dead by now. It was Donald Pleasance who played Dr. Sam Loomis.
He has passed away, the actor, really.
And that was such a main part of the original.
Oh, he's awesome.
He was really represented the other side of Michael Myers, right? Like, they played off of each other, right? Like, it was, that was kind of the, he was the priest who was who was the priest slash doctor slash psychiatrist that knew that he was like, he's that character, right? He's represents it. So, I mean, and he's been long since gone, and I always liked him playing off stuff within the early ones. But I mean, what's good about this one is it looks like it's not trying to do too much, which some of the other ones tried to do too much.
That's true. Like, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel with this one. They're just going back to the original spirit of Halloween. They are adding a few more comedic touches, but they do keep like some of the scare scenes pretty faithful, as well as like as well as the gore as well too. So yeah, you can tell that like David Gordon Green, which is interesting because he's done. This is a guy that's done stoner comedies, hipster art house movies, and horror movies. And now he's going to be having a lot to do with like the Hellraiser reboot and the Exorcist reboot as well, too. So
I mean, he's awesome. He's this also the guy that was behind Eastbound and Down and the Vice Principals with Danny McBride. Yeah. That's also why Danny McBride is in the last one. Who's awesome. But yeah, you're right. He has a sense of humor, but he's also not trying to do too much. This is the spirit of those 80s slasher ones where let's just create a scene where Michael Myers can walk around and kill people. And that's about what we're trying to
do. And that's what like a lot of the a lot of people love the zombie stuff, but Carpenter doesn't like it because it's based he tried to explain because in Carpenter's view, like he tried to explain too much of the past. Of Rob Zombie or Michael Myers, when he's essentially just like the spirit of evil, and so the less you know about him, the more scary it is. So that's why John Carpenter's back for this one. I think that's why they got him on board for this one, because they went back to his original vision. Because Carpenter's notorious for hating a lot of the sequels too.
Yeah, but also it's like when you start to overthink these guys in the backstory, it starts to lose a little bit. You've already got us. Like just like all these main slasher characters, he's evil. We get that. Mm-hmm. He's in a mask. He's going to kill everyone who's in front of him. And there's always going to be someone who tries to kill him at the end. Right? Yep. That's it. That's all I really need to know. Yeah. Like the rest of it, don't try to fill in the gaps. Now, interesting as I look at it, what's also pretty funny is that Danny McBride gets a written by credit on it too.
Yeah, and he did in the first one as well. Yeah.
So he's clearly, there's going to be a sense of humor within it. So I did think with some of the Rob Zombie stuff and sometimes when they try to reboot these, especially you saw it with Nightmare on Elm Street and even Friday the 13th, they're trying to do too much.
And I think you're right. And I think Zombie is like a great, like, especially visually, he's a great director.
Awesome.
But he's like a super horror fan, you know, but clearly like David Gordon Green's a horror fan as well too. But yeah, then I think that sometimes when you try and do more, it ends up not working out as well for you. I think he tried to explain too much. And some people really like that. But I think effectively it is like more scary to explain less about Michael
Myers. But that's also one of the cool things about Michael Myers. What made him pretty scary is you have no idea what this guy looks like. And even notoriously in the first one, you just saw through the eyes of the mask at the very beginning. You never really saw him. Yeah. And then all you need to know is he wears a mask. He's got these dead eyes behind that mask. And he's evil incarnate. That's all you need to know. And then he's just going around just doing evil stuff. And who can't appreciate that in a horror film, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what the audience goes to see it for. Like they know that like there's going to be some like flimsy excuse to bring the villain back. He's going to slaughter a bunch of people, and then maybe it's going to be predictable about who lives or dies. But then he's going to come back for that next movie. So. What the audience wants to see. Yeah.
So what I like about this one, looking at the other ones that are rebooted, that it is a continuation. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're even trying to be a reboot. They're just like, here's the story.
This one, I think, is just going to kind of be him slaughtering people in new scenarios until they close out like the Laurie Strode timeline, basically.
Yeah, which is probably what they're looking to do because they've already announced Halloween Ends. Mm-hmm. So it's probably going to be something around that. Mm-hmm.
Until it begins again as a new name.
Yeah. As until he's back again. Because these guys, you just can't kill them. And I can appreciate that. So that kind of covers off. Those are the four. So what we're going to do is cool. So we've covered off these four classic franchises that are being rebooted. We've looked at them all. And now what we're going to do for next week is we're going to take some of the themes and come up with the indie version that we might think that you need to talk about or that we need to.
Or the ones that we've seen that are similar to these kind of movies. Themes and kind of movie to it.
So we're going to put some new films on here. So, hey, if you don't want to go the big boy franchise like this because you're all indie, totally understand and sympathize. Yeah. We're going to give you an alternative film to look at that we think ticks the same boxes that you're going to get out of it. So we're each going to do our research. We're each going to come up with one movie from each one. I think that's the way to do it.
So yeah.
Like, we'll look at the four. Hey, we might come up with the same movie. We're not going to tell each other.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. We might come up with the same one, but we might not. And then we'll explain why we think it is a good alternative and take it from there, because, you know, we're all about the indie film. So that's it. That's all I got for this week. So check these ones out, and then check us out next week when we talk about alternative indie titles that you can look at instead.
Yeah, right on. All righty.
All right, cool. Until next week.
Until next week.
Hi, I'm Chuck Gaines. Wanna play?